As I was developing my thoughts for this lesson this morning, something that happens many times is I started out with a idea, a theme in mind, and started developing my thoughts, and things just kept going a different way. And if you've ever tried to, if you've given exhortations or speeches of any kind, you know that happens sometimes. And I do want to talk this morning about finding the truth of God's Word. That's what I started out with, and we are going to talk about that. And we are also going to talk much about our heart, the heart of man seeking the truth, which they're kind of run along the same lines there. And in our adult class this morning, Michael used up several of my thoughts, but some of my thoughts, not many. But it went much along the same line, and I think that's good. You know, sometimes God, it seems, just directs us to have a theme when we don't even plan it. And that may be this morning. Well, let's start out with the name of Jesus. The name above all names. The name of Jesus has been known by more of Earth's population in the last 2,000 years than any other name, even in the most remote parts of the world. This was accomplished first and recorded by the Apostle Paul in Colossians, the first chapter, verses 5 and 6, and also in verse 23. I want to read those for you. Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 23. And if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. The gospel was spread to all the world. Yet, there are many different beliefs of man about whether Jesus is even God's son or not. And of those who do believe, there's many, many different beliefs of how we should follow him, or even if we should follow him. How did things get this way? From the initial word being spread to the convoluted mess, I guess you could say, that exists now in the world. Since the gospel first was spread to all the world shortly after Christ lived, untold numbers of Earth's population have lived and died and never known the truth of God's will for mankind. And that continues today. Why is it that people don't know what God wants them to do? It's not for the lack of information, is it? The Bible is the most purchased, at least, book that's ever been printed. It's spread through all the world. But it seems that people have a heart of unbelief. Meaning one, they believe in God but refuse to obey, refuse to believe and obey His truth. Or they refuse to believe in God at all. So there's many people who believe in God. They believe there is a God. They just want to do what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do. And there are some who refuse to believe in God at all. That certainly will change. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But simply put, you know, we talk about God's will a lot. What is God's will? The simplest form of God's will is that all the eternal souls of all mankind could live with Him in eternity. Isn't that true? God created us. He created every single soul. And He wants us to come back to Him. 2 Peter 3 and 9. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But because man disobeyed Him and sinned in the garden, God sent His only begotten Son into the world to redeem us. Let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. I think we want to look at verse 5 too. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That's not what I want. Verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That's how much God loves our eternal soul. And we all know John 3:16, right? He loved us so much that whoever believes in Christ and obeys Him will have eternal life. So it's up to each of us individually to follow God's plan to get back to Him for all eternity. That's pretty simple. In fact, it's much simpler than much of the religious world, we might say, wants us to believe. There are so many different denominations with so many crooks and turns and beliefs that they want to impose upon man. And God doesn't have it that way. That's not how God designed it. God designed the plan of salvation so that anyone who can comprehend can follow it and can obey it. Eventually, everyone who has ever lived or ever will live will bow their knee, confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, and be judged by Him on that last great day. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. I want to read verses 8 through 11. We're going to be studying that in a few weeks. Talking about Jesus here. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That includes all. If you noticed, Paul there says, those in heaven, meaning angels, those on earth, us, all mankind that's ever lived, those under the earth, Satan and his demons, every single being, whether heavenly or physical, will confess that Jesus is Lord. So all of Earth's population actually is in two categories when we talk about this subject. Those who are followers of the truth and those who refuse to believe or follow the truth. So where does that come from? It comes from our heart, from our mind. So let's look first. I want to look at believers and unbelievers. Let's look at the unbelievers first. From what Travis read for us this morning in John chapter 8. This is a lengthy discourse Jesus had with the Pharisees as He was teaching in the temple. We'll just look at a part of it. Look at verse 23 and 24. He said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Why couldn't the Pharisees see who He was? Why couldn't they understand him? They were teachers of the law, weren't they? They were supposed to, they were the experts of Moses' law. But yet they didn't know who the Messiah was? The one they'd been looking for hundreds of years? Verses 42 through 47. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." He goes on to tell them they are of Satan. And why? Because they wanted to do the things of Satan. Then he defines who is Satan. He was a murderer, or in other words, and a liar from the start. When he talks about being a murderer, Satan murdered all mankind, did he not, when he brought sin into the world? Excuse me. So Jesus ends this saying, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." So my question this morning is, are you seeking God? And we want to talk about people who are seeking the truth because their heart is open to it. They're looking for it. People today that can't understand the truth, it's because they don't want to hear it. Jesus told us that. That's certainly not my definition. Their heart is not ready to receive the word. Jesus had a disciple that doubted him. Some doubted that he resurrected. Remember Thomas? In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus told him, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. If you don't believe that I was crucified, feel my hands. Put your hand in my side where the spear went in." And Thomas was a believer. You know, we talk about the parable of the sower quite a bit, and it's important. It was recorded in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, three of the Gospels. Tad talked about that a little bit last week. The good seed was sown in every place. The sower did not pick the good soil to put it in and leave all the rest, because as the sower, he didn't know there might be some good soil that he didn't see. So it was broadcast. But it only produced in good ground, didn't it? The same is true with our hearts. God's will is for all mankind. But only the heart of man willing to find and obey the truth will receive it. We talked about Lydia this morning in Acts, the 16th chapter. About the Philippian jailer and their households. They were ready. They were looking for truth. And they found it. I think that should be a part of our prayers. It is a part of my prayers every night. That those who are seeking for the truth will find it. And as Christians, we must do our part to make that happen. Paul told the Greeks of Athens that worship false gods that the true God wants man to seek him and find him, and he is not far away. That's in Acts 17, verses 24 through 27. Maybe I'll have enough voice here to make it through. He said, "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things." God gives everything. "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." God is there. He's waiting. The heart of man that is seeking to find Him will find Him. So let's talk about believers a little bit. We've talked about unbelievers. We've talked about those Pharisees. Let's talk about the good things, the believers. The book of Acts gives us many, many examples of believers. Chapter 2, after the first gospel sermon, there was about 3,000 people converted. By the fourth chapter, the number is up to about 5,000. Chapter 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and on, talk about believers being converted. People wanted to know the truth. True conviction in the heart brings about a change, because why? We realize our eternal life is at stake. You know, we have several believers here today that were not raised in the church that Jesus established and died for. I want to name some of you all, starting right here with Rachel and Brandon, Amanda, Diana, Mark, James and Sheila Welty, Jacob. Maybe there's others. If I've overlooked anybody, I apologize. But that's great, isn't it? Why are you people part of the believers if you weren't taught that from your childhood? Was it just because you heard a sermon? Was it just because you heard a lesson or two on the truth? Was it just because you simply opened the Bible and read and studied it for yourself and obeyed it? Was it because you cared enough about the person who guided you to actually listen, to learn, to repent and obey? I think it probably was a combination of all those things, wasn't it? But if you're a believer, it's because your heart was open to the truth. And we thank God that that all of us believe. Those of us who believe and obey. You know, our brother Dan Huff has a saying. I'm going to quote him if I can get it right. But he has one of his favorite sayings is, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. So those of you who have been guided into the truth, I converted, however you want to put it, probably the fact that someone took the time and cared enough about you caused you to really listen. So we need to think about that when we think about individuals in the world. We need to be looking for those people who are ready to receive the truth. They're ready to hear the word. They're ready for the seed to be sown in their heart. So I'll ask the question, what condition is your eternal soul in right now? And this is for everyone. What condition is your eternal soul in right now? We have some little children in our midst who are still in innocence, okay? And are not yet subject to the gospel call. God does not require someone who does not understand that they have sinned and understand what they must do to be saved. God does not require hold them to the same standards as He does other people. So we have children, I'll say, that are in innocence. We have those who are in good standing, who have accepted God on His terms and continue to obey Him. Okay, it's not just that we have accepted Him, but we continue to do God's will. There are people who have accepted God but have turned their back on Him. Okay? That's another condition of eternal souls. Those who have become Christians but have rejected God. And then we have those who have never accepted God on His terms. I think we all fall into one of those categories. And so, when many people hear the truth and when they realize they have to make a huge change and repent, simply will not leave their life of sin and live for God. We talked about this a little bit last week. This is the gospel. This is the message that Christ preached, beginning in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus preached repentance. And people did not like it, the people that were not ready. The people that were ready, that had a heart looking for the truth, they accepted it. They did like it. But as Jesus told his disciples, don't marvel if the world hates you. If they hate you, they hated me first. Because Jesus brought truth. And we are to bring truth to the world around us. This morning, if your eternal soul is not in the position it should be with God, don't let pride stand in your way of repentance. What do any of us have to be proud about? Think about that question. Have any of us done anything that we could stand before God and say, God, look what I did. Isn't that worthy of salvation? Isn't that a ridiculous thought? But yet, people allow their personal pride to stand in the way of, to keep them from humility. What did God have to say to Job? You know, Job was a righteous man. Endured far more tribulation than any of us ever have, probably ever will. I hope none of us ever have to go through what Job had to. And he didn't sin, but yet, God called him down. God said, where were you at, Job, when I created the world? I laid the foundations. I spoke it into existence. Where were you at? That's, you know, when we think about things like that, it should bring us to humility. We should think about our lives, and we should think about our hearts. This morning, I'll close. And this morning, as you think about, I want you to think about if your heart's not right, get it right. If it's right, I want us to think about those who are lost. Okay? Be looking for people who are willing to accept. I think sometimes we get too caught up in those, in, you know, everyone. Everyone's not going to come to the gospel. Jesus said that in Matthew, the 7th chapter. It's a narrow portal way to heaven. It's a narrow gate, and it's a straight way. And there's very few people going to get in there. But we need to help those who are looking for that. This morning, if you need to make a change in your life, please let it be known as we stand and sing. Thank you.